Chapter 33. "Hey, Joe," Skippy announced in a nervous tone as his avatar shimmered into life a couple hours later. That by itself was odd. Usually the hologram was fully formed in the blink of an eye.
"Hey, yourself. Everything okay with you?" I asked with concern. Partly it was concern for myself. We had just completed a truly impossible mission, and I did not want anything harshing my inner buzz.
"No." He shook his head sadly. "Everything is far from okay. We have a big problem. By we, I mean myself and every other intelligent creature in the Milky Way galaxy. For the sake of amusement, I will include monkeys in the list of intelligent beings."
"Listen, if you're going to warn me that trillions of years from now every proton in the galaxy will decay into quarks or some other entropy thing, that is not fun."
"I'm not being funny, Joe, and this issue is not something billions or trillions of years in the future. In fact, this trouble began millions of years in the past." The tone of his voice, more than what he said, made me press the button under my desk to close my office door. "Holy shit. Please don't tell me we screwed up somehow and the Maxalks are coming to Earth despite all our efforts."
"No, that is not the problem."
"Oh." An involuntary shudder struck me, and I didn't bother trying to hide it.
"Thank God. The problem is much, much worse than a couple of puny Maxalt ships."
Puny? Maxalt ships are... Oh, crap, you'd better tell me right now. My imagination was running wild. All the attaboys we accumulated on our last mission could get wiped away by a single aw shit. Really, I could not complain about that. With the merry band of pirates, any kind of aw shit was an end-of-the-world thing.
Let me start at the beginning. When I downloaded data from the first relay station to get the flight plans of the target ships, I swept in a lot of irrelevant crap that I analyzed and discarded. One item that was not irrelevant is a report from a Maxalt's geology group on a planet in the Sagittarius arm of the galaxy, 8,000 light-years from Earth. That planet originally had a Maxalt's colony, but they abandoned it long ago and allowed the Theranan to establish a presence there. It is not a hospitable world, and is not convenient to any elder wormholes.
Wait. You got this hugely bad info from a relay station like weeks ago, and you're just telling me about it now?
Yes, but a lot of shit has happened since then. We hit those ships after the last visit to a relay station. Why the delay?
The delay is part of the problem, you dum-dum.
Skippy rarely shouted at me, so I stopped haranguing him.
Sorry, go ahead.
I got that info way back then, and I did read it, and I thought it was nothing. Then, while analyzing my matrix, I noticed a discrepancy in the size of files. That geology report was hidden from me until recently. I thought I had read the entire file, but there was a lot I missed. Joe, something inside me is concealing important information from my higher consciousness, and I don't know what is happening. I do think I know why, and it scares the shit out of me.
Go on. What is this geology report?
There was not any way I could imagine why a report about rocks or whatever on an obscure planet could be a threat. Certainly not a threat to the entire galaxy. More likely, the threat was that worrying about a geology report was a sign of Skippy's mind cracking. The Maxalt's team there was confirming evidence that was originally collected around 3,000 years ago. That original team was conducting a survey to assess the stability of the tectonic plates to determine which areas would be suitable for placing long-term settlements. What that team found was very interesting. That planet had a native intelligent species, a type of six-legged mammal who built structures of wood and stone and created crude tools from metal, primarily bronze. I say had, because the species became extinct.
Oh, shit. There was only one reason why Skippy would consider the extinction to be a threat to us now.
Like Newark?
Good guess, Joe. It was a bit like Newark in that the extinction of that species was not a natural phenomenon like an ice age, nor was it a natural disaster like a big meteor. Based on evidence collected by the Maxalts, the star's output suddenly increased over a period of 2 weeks and cooked the planet. The additional heat and radiation was fatal to all large land animals, including all the intelligent beings.
Okay. That is tragic, and if you think an Elder AI was involved, that is very bad news, but Skippy, we already knew an Elder AI committed genocide on Newark. How is this different?
The different part is not what happened, it is when it happened. The Maxalts determined, and my analysis confirms,
The intelligent species on that world was wiped out approximately 2 million years before the elders left their physical form behind.
Oh, my.
You're sure? I am certain of the timing. The dates may be off slightly one way or the other. However, there is no question that this genocide occurred while the elders were still here and active.
That blows my mind, Skippy.
Blows my mind, too, Joe. There are only two possibilities I can see, and here I could use your help.
What?
Your help. My mind is relentlessly logical, while your thought process is completely disorganized and random. Thus, you may think of something I missed.
Thank you? I couldn't decide whether he had insulted me again, so I fell back on being polite.
Like I said, two possibilities. There could be a third party that was around while the elders were active, which frightens me, because in that case, the elders stood by and did nothing while this unknown third party committed genocide. The other possibility is, I hesitate to mention it because this terrifies me to my core. His avatar was shaking. The possibility that the elders themselves wiped out that primitive species.
Hey, before we go down that road, there is no way that star heating up was just a fluke. Stars can be variable, I remember you telling me that.
Stars can't be variable like that, Joe, not as a one-time event. Plus, what I didn't tell you is another piece of evidence collected by the Maxalks. They found a radiation signature in rocks that is characteristic, like a fingerprint, of an elder technology for manipulating stars. The elders often use that technology to regulate stars that are variable, so their output is more even and conducive for life on planets orbiting the Goldilocks zone. That technology, if abused, can make a star's output increase or decrease significantly. There is no question that the incident that wiped out that species was not natural, that it was deliberate, and that it utilized elder technology, a type of technology that no other species has come close to developing.
Joe, remember, the reason we recovered a dropship from that moon base was because the Maxalts were using that star system for experiments on manipulating stars. Other species want that technology. Only the elders have it.
Had it.
Okay. Okay. I sat back in my chair despite my shaking hands, which I placed firmly on the desk, pressing down so they stopped trembling.
I may have been wrong about something, Skippy.
What is that?
Whether I should trust you not to go on a crazy killing spree.
No, that's not what I meant. I trust you. Maybe you can't trust yourself. Maybe there is something bad inside you, something you were created with, something you can't control.
That is what scares me too, Joe. I haven't told you the worst part yet.
There is something worse?
Unfortunately, yes. When I read the Maxalk's geology report, I noticed gaps in the data. That triggered something inside me to release memories I did not know I had, that filled in the gaps.
Joe, I already knew about that genocide. I have always known about it. I must have been programmed with that data to know it, to understand it. Whoever I am, at one point I was okay with knowing an intelligent species was erased from existence. Before you say something blandly comforting like maybe I was provided that data to warn me against genocide, he said before I could open my mouth to say exactly that, it makes no sense. Why hide data from me? A warning is only useful if I was aware of it.
No. He shook his head sadly. The Admiral's hat bobbing side to side.
I have to consider that I am not who I thought I was, that everything I thought I knew about the Elders is wrong or all lies.
Joe, I don't know if I can live with knowing the Elders committed genocide.
You don't have to.
Huh? Did you not hear anything I said?
Damn it, you don't know anything, Skippy. You do not know the Elders baked that planet and wiped out those six-legged cavemen.
Joe, do not try telling me an elder AI could have gone crazy back then, and
that is still a valid guess, Skippy. There could also have been another intelligent starfaring species in this galaxy at the same time as the elders.
Oh, he scoffed. Please, Joe, there is no evidence of that.
Until recently, you did think there might have been an unknown third party roaming the galaxy and causing havoc. Maybe there is no evidence of this third party because the elders destroyed them for being murderous assholes.
A hostile third party would explain why Elder starships were equipped with weapons, right?
He pondered the question.
Possibly. Maybe. The problem is there's no evidence an unknown third party ever existed. Other than the wormhole network and a few trinkets scattered around, there is little evidence the Elders ever existed, Skippy. Seriously, Most species only know about the Elders because the Rindaloo spent thousands of years scouring the galaxy for information about who was here before them. What we think we know about the Elders is based on guesses made by the Rindaloo, right?
I suppose you are right about that, Joe.
Damn it, I know even less now than when we started this stupid conversation.
That is my point, Skippy.
Do not go getting all depressed because of bad assumptions you make without actually knowing anything, okay?
Okay, he grumbled, still unhappy.
Sorry to spoil your good mood, Joe.
Hey, don't worry about it. I offered his avatar a fist bump. My good mood is going to last a long time, hopefully. Come on, we did the impossible.
I guess so. He sounded like Eeyore the donkey from Winnie the Pooh. Are you planning a party for the crew to celebrate?
I'm not, but I hope Sims is planning something.
Don't tell her I said this, but she may be planning a party. Joe, you do not seem as happy as you should be.
I stared at the ceiling. I'm worried about Adams, about what's been happening to her while we've been flying around the galaxy. It's great that we're returning home from a successful mission. Maybe that gives us some leverage, you know. But we did steal a starship that technically belonged to UNEF. Some of that fallout may hit Adams. He made a sad sniffling sound.
I am worried about Margaret, too, Joe.
He spoke in a whisper.
Dude, can I ask you a question, man to man?
With Skippy, it was more like man to can, but I didn't tell him that.
Sure, go ahead.
Are you worried that Margaret might have found someone while we were away? That she will be in a relationship when we get back to Earth?
Whoa, whoa! Damn it, if I knew your question was about that, I would have told you to—
She is not going to wait forever, Joe. The unusual, sincere tone of his voice was more important than his words. Skippy was not being his typical snarky asshole self.
Listen, Skippy, drop the subject. You know what regulations say about regulations, he sputtered.
Dude, you committed mutiny and stole a starship. I think you are way past caring about regs.
Jeez Louise,
that's like being rescued from the Titanic and complaining about their wine selection. Get some perspective.
It's not that easy, Skippy. The Army is a team, and the Army is a family away from home. I threw that all away. I'm not part of the team anymore. I'm a soldier. It doesn't feel right. Do me a favor, please. Let's not talk about this.
Sims did have a party planned, and we did party hardy until well after midnight. Although the official supplies provided to the Flying Dutchman had not included any alcohol, Skippy had sneakily gotten plenty of booze aboard by mislabeling containers and hacking into logistics databases. When he had promised free beer in his failed campaign for my job, he actually had not been lying about that. There was plenty of beer aboard for our small crew, and wine and hard liquor. His selections were unusual and interesting, like we had several bottles of a German ginger-flavored liquor called Ratzeputz that I'd never heard of. Also tequila, which I avoided, but I did try ouzo, which was a big mistake. From India was stuff called arak, and there was Chinese liquor called baijiu that was like vodka. Overall, I was a good boy. I did not get hammered. Although, damn it, after accomplishing the truly impossible, I deserved to get a little crazy. The reason I stayed mostly sober was my concern about Skippy. If he started blubbering about how confused and depressed he was, I wanted to be lucid to talk him down off the ledge. Also, because I was hoping to be reinstated after we returned home, I needed the United States Army to know my behavior had been exemplary. And also, I was worried that if I drank too much, the universe would use that as an opportunity to bite me in the ass. So the next morning, I was relatively awake and alert for my duty shift on the bridge, starting at 0800. Because Nagatha and Skippy were still repairing battle damage, there was not much for the duty officer to do, so I used the time to work on the after-action report. Everything was quiet, until a beer can decided to complicate my day.
"Hey, Joe!" Skippy's avatar blinked on in front of the main bridge display.
"Gah!" I shrieked. "What the hell is that?"
Instead of his usual Grand Admiral outfit, the hologram was over 5 feet tall, with a weather-beaten face, long white hair, and a thin white beard. He was dressed in brown robes, and at first I thought he was a Jedi Knight, but the robes were too simple and plain, and he didn't have a lightsaber.
"Huh? Oh, sorry, Joe." He looked down at himself. "I forgot which avatar I was using. This is my holy man, Skippy Azurmoney. I've been practicing for a promotional video."
Promotion? I thought you gave up that cult. Club, Joe, it's a club, remember? Abandoning my followers now would be cruel. They need me and love me. Love you? They don't even know you. They don't know you're just a scam. I insisted, without any proof that statement was true. While at my sister's apartment in Boston, I had researched his cult on the internet, and all the postings from followers of Skippyism, or whatever it is called, were super enthusiastic. No one had anything but positive things to say about how the Skippy had changed their lives, although it could be that Skippy edited out all the negative comments. That is insulting, Joe, and you know it. Skippy As Your Money delivers a solid value to his followers. Really, it's more like an organized crime gang than a cult, where, unless being a gang is a bad thing. That drew a facepalm from me. Oh, boy, I muttered into my hand.
Colonel Bishop, Pope called from CIC.
Skippy has a cult now? Club. It's an exclusive club, the beer can explained. Except the only requirement to join is giving me a big pile of cash. Pope, I waved at him. I will explain later, I promise. There's nothing we can do about it now anyway. Skippy, could you please switch back to your usual avatar? Talking to him as a wizened old mystical holy man was disturbing, especially because he still used his regular snarky voice and was still an asshole.
Your wish is granted, Joe. The avatar shrank and returned to the Grand Admiral outfit. Hey, I was thinking that on our way home for a triumphant return celebration, we should...
Celebration? Yeah, you know, because of our, well, mostly my, truly awesome accomplishments. I expect there to be parades and fireworks at the very least.
I hate to burst your bubble, but no one is likely to be printing T-shirts for Skippy's awesomeness tour.
Why not?
Because the UN is still pissed at me, unless something has changed radically since we left. I have a whole lot of splaining to do when we get home. After the UN learns how incredibly successful we've been, then maybe they will think about not throwing me in prison forever. Crap, Skippy, I don't expect to leave the ship at all when we get back to Earth. If I go down to the surface, I'm likely to be arrested.
Well, that sucks.
Hey, we'll see about what happens. I'm just not counting on everyone holding hands and agreeing all is forgiven, you know?
That is so unfair, his avatar protested, hands on its hips in defiance.
Yeah, I agree, and I'll tell you something. My hands tightened on the armrest of the command chair. I am not taking any more shit from dirtside politicians. I am not the scared army specialist who left Earth anymore. Oh, I meant it is not fair that my incredible accomplishments cannot be celebrated and marveled at by the entire world of monkeys, but, sure, it's not fair to you either.
Asshole, I muttered under my breath. Hey, the idiot monkeys on your home world are not my people, Joe.
Good point. I was mentally bracing for bad news because I could not think of anything that could delay our return flight. Our fuel tanks had plenty to carry us home, and we could later take on more fuel at Jupiter or Saturn or Neptune. Skippy had, of course, wanted to refuel by extracting gas from Uranus, but only because that would give him a solid week of amusement, so I had vetoed that idea. Seriously, why couldn't the astronomers of the world get together and agree on a new name for that stupid planet? I read somewhere that it is the only planet named from Greek mythology. All the others are named after Roman gods. There must be Roman gods who don't already have a planet named after them. How about something like Minerva? Okay, whatever, you get my point. Or maybe we could sell naming rights to that planet like sports teams do for their stadiums. I think Chico's Bail Bonds Planet would be a much better name than Uranus.
Okay, what is it that we should do on our way home?
That thing we talked about, Joe. He prodded me. Sometimes, to my great annoyance, Skippy was the king of no context. He might have been referring to a conversation we had last week or back when I first met him. Time did not matter to the beer can.
Could you be more specific?
Ugh, you're such a scatterbrain. Why do I even bother? I work so hard, and all you...
Skippy, a little context, please. The thing we need to talk about.
What is it?
Trying to find wormholes that can connect outside the galaxy, you numbskull.
I done told yous.
For some reason, he adopted a thick New York accent.
We got to find a special wormhole, yous know.
Oh, yeah. Even through all the excitement of our last mission, I had not forgotten about my idea for setting up a beta site, but I had forgotten the minor detail that we had no certain way of actually getting outside the galaxy.
We can do that on our way home?
Yep. The main display switched to a star map, with our current course outlined in yellow. There was now an alternate course represented by a blue line. We can alter our course slightly to go through this wormhole here. A wormhole along the blue line began to blink. As we are waiting to go through, I can ask the network whether the wormhole can connect to any of the potential sites you want to explore.
You can do that without actually screwing with this wormhole, right? No one will notice what you're doing?
Correct. All I will be doing is asking the network a couple simple questions.
Is this new course any more dangerous?
It looks longer.
It is longer.
It will delay our arrival at Earth by 3 days. The territory this route passes through is actually more remote. We are overall less likely to encounter other ships by taking this alternate route.
3 more days, Colonel? Beezer asked from the pilot seat. I must remind you, the ship is not in good condition. We have a leaky reactor, sir.
I understand that, Beezer. Bringing home news that we can establish a backup site might be the difference between Earth's governments being happy to see us or wanting to throw us in prison. After I told Sims about my idea for a beta site, I had mentioned it to a couple other people, mostly on the science team. Word had gotten out, which was okay. It was not supposed to be a secret. Beezer did not need to think about that.
I'm not in favor of the prison option.
What about it, Skippy? Will another 3 days of operation pose a danger of the ship falling apart?
No, because although the alternate course is longer in terms of distance, the ship will perform fewer jumps. The additional distance is from traveling through Elder wormholes. Fewer jumps creates less of a strain on this broke Dick Frankenstein ship.
Then we do that, I decided.
Just in case you don't get a favorable answer from this wormhole, is there another one anywhere near the alternate route?
You spoiled my surprise, Joe. Yes, this wormhole here.
Another light began blinking on the display. The light was not along the blue line.
It's close enough that it would take us less than one additional day to check it out. The course is more complicated.
The nice blue line became a back-and-forth squiggle, with us having to jump backwards more than once.
However, that does give us another option.
Outstanding.
For a moment, I made a silent groan because I knew I would have to clear the course change with Chotek. Then I remembered my favorite diplomat and bureaucrat was no longer aboard the ship. In a way, I missed him. Not enough to want him aboard, but I had grown to respect the guy for who he was. Plus, he had warned Skippy about UNEF trying to seize the ship. Wherever he was, I hoped he was being treated well.
Beezer, Edwards, load the alternate course in the navigation system so we're ready to jump when the ship is back online.
At the first wormhole, Skippy did not get the answer we wanted. We were still waiting for that wormhole's event horizon to emerge near us when he gave me the bad news.
Joe, it appears there are regular wormholes, heavy-duty wormholes, and super-duty wormholes. Only the latter type can connect across more than 80,000 light-years.
Fantastic. Are any of these super-duty wormholes near us?
Unfortunately, no. They appear to be rare. The local sector only contains 3, from what I can tell from the data I got from the network.
None of the super-duty wormholes are active. They have all been dormant for a very long time. The last active super-duty wormhole leading outside the galaxy shut down while the Rindaloo were exploring the galaxy and beyond. I suspect the shutdown of that wormhole may have trapped a group of Rindaloo way out there in the Greater Magellanic Cloud. We certainly do not want to go there.
Do you at least know?
Sorry, I shouldn't have said at least. You only know what the network is willing to tell you. Do you know where some of these super-duty wormholes are?
Not the one leading to Magellan or whatever.
Yes, and that is the good news. I do know where 3 of them are, and only one of them is on the star charts provided by the Rindaloo. Joe, the other 2 are not known to any other species. We can go to those 2 wormholes safely and use them for decades before any nearby star system detects the gamma radiation of them being activated.
That is good news, I think.
How long would it take for us to get to one of these hidden super duties?
Too long, Joe. They are both on the other side of Earth from here.
It would be best for us to stop at your home planet on the way.
Wait! Before you grumble about it, I do have the answer you want.
Both of those super wormholes are able to connect far outside the galaxy, and I can establish those connections using our wormhole controller. If your goal is to tell authorities on Earth that we can transport a human population far beyond the reach of any species in this galaxy, you very likely can do that.
Whew! I breathed a sigh of relief. Thank you, Skippy. That is like my get-out-of-jail-free card, you know.
I'll take your word about that. No more detours. We set course straight for Earth, which meant going through the local wormhole again.
Hey, Skippy, let Nagatha try opening the wormhole this time, using the controller module power tap thing, okay?
Joe, While I have high confidence in the device I slapped together with duct tape and two elder components that were never designed to function as a unit, I must point out that each time you use it presents a small but non-zero risk of the thing wearing out. Just saying, you know.
Okay, yeah, good point. I mentally berated myself for not considering that. Nagatha, sorry, we can't take that risk.
I understand completely, Joseph,
our ship's resident AI replied.
I am confident that in an emergency I could operate the wormhole.
Good. Then, Skippy, do your thing. Take us home.
We went through the wormhole, and Skippy made it go dormant again, which rather than attracting unwanted attention from aliens would now help sell our cover story. I thought that was super-duper cool. With no missions to prepare for, and our arrival at Earth looming large in everyone's minds, we spent most of our time getting our dress uniforms in tip-top shape, cleaning the ship until the interior surfaces were bright and shiny, and writing after-action reports. Everyone was determined to present our story in the most positive fashion to UNEF and their home governments, including me. My own report included concerns and lessons learned, but was heavy on praise for the team's performance, and highlighted my own contributions to accomplishing a mission even I thought was impossible. Hey, if I did not point out what a great job I had done, I sure couldn't count on UNEF doing it for me. Hey, Skippy, I called while adding positive items to the report. Now that we have that second wormhole controller module out there, we have a backup in case the one the Dutchman carries gets busted or something.
Bonus?
Uh-huh, yeah. It would be a bonus, except that second module is on the far end of the local wormhole, you dum-dum. We can't access it from here. If the module aboard the Dutchman suffers a problem, we will be trapped on this end with no way to reopen the wormhole. Duh.
Shit. Why the hell didn't you tell me we should put the second module on this end?
Because you never asked me if that mattered. Jeez, Joe, you have to use your own brain once in a while. We're screwed now. No way to move the thing. The adjustments I made so it can operate independently on a timer render it unable to reconnect. If I cut its connection to move it, the thing would never work properly again.
Bringing the module through the wormhole would sever its connection to the network to anticipate your next moronic question, he added with smug satisfaction.
Crap.
That was going to be my final sweetener to offer UNEF so they don't throw me in jail.
Joe,
jail is not what you should be worrying about.
Well, that's easy for you to say.
Listen, dum-dum, what I meant is you should be worried that our mission is over. Hearing that startled me.
What?
Think about it. The Kristang are not coming to Earth. Now neither are the Ruhar, the Theranin, or even the Maxalks. Your home world is safe. It's over. The war is over for humans. I mean, the humans on Earth. At least it's over for a couple hundred years. Your monkey leadership will pester me endlessly to help them build starships so they can defend the planet hundreds of years from now. But what are you going to do, now that UNEF no longer needs you to save the world again?
Shit. Skippy, I had not thought about that.
You should think about it. By the time your home world is in danger again, you will be long dead. Joe, you need to consider what to do with the rest of your life, because this... He took off his hat and waved it to indicate the ship around us. ...is likely over for you. Because we were finally on our way home, I decided I needed a haircut, so I would at least look like an army soldier instead of a renegade pirate. Grooming standards were relaxed aboard the Dutchman, and I had let my hair get longer than regulation. Our special operations troops were allowed to grow beards and shaggy hair back on Earth so they could blend in with civilians, and Smythe saw no reason to mess with traditions just because we were flying around the galaxy in a stolen alien ship. When we were on the planet Gingerbread in the Roach Motel, I had made a point of keeping my hair in a regulation cut to boost the crew's morale. If they had seen me go native by looking like a hippie, they might think I had subconsciously given up on ever getting home. Anyway... When we had a full crew, there were a couple amateur barbers aboard, and now I had no idea who could cut my hair.
Hey, Skippy, I need a haircut. You got any suggestions?
Well, I suggest you get all of your hairs cut, not just one,
he snorted at one of the world's oldest and lamest jokes. Go to sickbay and we'll take care of it. I went to sickbay, figuring one of the spec ops people who had been training as medics must have a side job cutting hair. All the special operations troops had been trained to perform battlefield medicine, and many of them had taken the opportunity to learn how to use the advanced Theranin medical gear in our sickbay.
So I walked into the sick bay while looking down at the tablet I was carrying, revising the official report that I hoped would persuade the army that I should be given a second chance. Hey, I need a...
Hey!
The tablet went flying out of my hands, bouncing off the ceiling and ricocheting off the near wall to go skidding across the floor. Anastasia was waiting in the sick bay wearing a nurse's uniform. She was not wearing shapeless pastel scrubs. She...
It...
was wearing a sexy nurse outfit like women wear at a Halloween party. Anastasia turned toward me. I held out a shaky hand for silence.
Skippy?
What is... I was interrupted. Not by Skippy. By Anastasia. Only it was not Anastasia's voice. Nagatha's voice was in the sex bot's body.
Well, hello, Joseph. I hear you need a haircut, dear.
Ah!
I literally clutched my chest and backed away, tripping over the tablet and falling against the wall as the naughty nurse walked toward me, her hips swaying.
Nagatha! What?
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought Skippy told you. I loaded part of my consciousness into this unit.
Okay,
why? I asked, before realizing I might not want to know the answer.
Partly to test my ability for adapting the program of semi-autonomous mobile units.
Nagatha's voice was somehow a breathy, sensuous version of her usual nice elderly aunt tones, and it creeped me out.
Mostly I was concerned that this bot was not being utilized efficiently, and,
she gave me a slow, sexy wink,
I wished to prove Skippy was wrong.
The sex bot's fingers wiggled in the air.
I have proven that this unit is capable of performing all except the most delicate medical procedures. As you know, Skippy programmed these fingers to...
Yeah, I know how they were programmed, thank you very much.
Come in, Joseph.
Nagatha crooked a finger at me in a gesture she might not have intended as alluring. Unless she had reprogrammed the entire system, the bot's motor controls were still set up for a different purpose, if you know what I mean.
Your hair is too long, you naughty boy.
She had an index finger wagging in a scolding gesture.
Nurse Nagatha will take care of...
Oh, that's not right, I gasped. She put one hand on a hip and pouted at me.
What is wrong, Joseph?
This is disturbing on so many levels. I backed out of the compartment, stepping on my tablet and not caring. Thank you.
Joseph, I am sorry. I did not anticipate you would react this way to my personality being in this bot. I can return Anastasia's original programming if you prefer that she cut your hair.
My hair is just fine. When I backed through the doorway, I spun and walked away fast as I could to my cabin where I locked myself in. Skippy probably was waiting for me to say something, so I kept quiet to avoid giving him the satisfaction. In my tiny bathroom, I cut my own hair with a small pair of scissors and... let's just say it looked like I lost a fight with a weed whacker. My hope was the army would be too busy laughing to remember that I committed mutiny and stole a starship. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Over the next couple days, I thought about what Skippy said about our mission being over. If that were true, what was I going to do with my life? Even if we still needed to conduct recon to make sure no one else was threatening Earth, UNEF did not need me to fly every mission. They probably did not want me flying any missions at all. What about my career in the army? My original purpose of signing up for the military was complicated. I wanted to get out of my hometown. I wanted to serve my country. And I wanted money for college so I wouldn't be buried by student loan debt. Looking back, if aliens had never invaded Earth and I had finished my enlistment before getting killed in Nigeria or Venezuela or wherever, what would I be doing? It's not like I had any idea what I wanted to study in college, so... maybe I would have done something else while deciding what to do with my life. I am not a big fan of wasting 4 or 5 years of my life in school to get some worthless degree and still not have a plan for a career. Anyway, aliens did invade, and I became a colonel. With our secret unraveling on Earth, the brass probably could not take a public relations hit by busting me back down to sergeant. But after some of the shit I'd done, the army would not be eager to see me continuing service. The United States Army is a team, and the big green machine succeeds because soldiers act together as a team for the good of the team. Hotshot cowboys are not encouraged in the Army, and with a few exceptions I still felt guilty about. I agreed with that philosophy. If Earth truly was safe in the long term, or even medium term,
The army would probably be very grateful if I quietly resigned and disappeared from the public's attention. The prospect of the fighting being over made me think about how army officers must have felt when World War II was winding down. They were happy that the killing and dying and suffering would soon be over, and they were looking forward to seeing their families again. But some of them had mixed feelings, because all they had known for years was war. All I had known since Columbus Day was fighting against aliens, and my home planet being in mortal danger. The people of Earth being safe was great, no question about it. My problem was I had gotten used to being useful, to doing something important. What was I going to do with the rest of my life if I was going to be stuck on Earth? I could worry about that later. I did not really believe our mission was over. Or maybe I just didn't want to believe it. "Hey, Joe!" Skippy's avatar popped to life on my desk. "You look unhappy. What's wrong? You should be thrilled. As much as you can be thrilled, considering that no matter what happens, you are a filthy monkey at the bottom of the development ladder." "Yeah, I guess so." I paused the game I had been playing and losing. Really, I had not been so much playing the game as staring at my laptop display doing nothing. "You guess so? Humanity is safe for hundreds of years because of you. Well, you and a barrel of monkeys. And me. Mostly me, really, but you monkeys can take a teeny bit of the credit. The Maxalts have no reason to ever go to the squalid slum you call home, and because of your genius idea, if you ever tell anyone I called you a genius, I will deny the whole thing." Of course, that did make me smile. "Because of your idea, aliens will ignore the gamma rays coming from Earth's wormhole when those photons reach sensors 60 light-years from the far end of the wormhole. You only have to worry about aliens detecting radio and TV transmissions that show all the Krestang here got wiped out and a Theranin star carrier has been regularly visiting your planet. There is nothing we can do about that. But maybe no one out there will be paying attention to those faint signals from Earth because, hey, why would they? Now you will be going back home with the good news that you have a good idea to set up a beta site. Your United Nations certainly should be thrilled about it. Thrilled enough to forget about all the incredibly bonehead shit you've done. Maybe not forget, but they could agree to sweep your past under the rug. Neat, huh?" "Yeah, neat. Skippy, my problem is you may be right about the war being over for us. For me. That's great. I'm happy about that." "You don't sound happy," he observed, hands on his little hips. "I'm wondering, what can I do next? I can't continue serving as an army officer in peacetime. The army can't just forget about me stealing a starship." "Well, he took off his ginormous hat and scratched his chrome-plated skull. "What can you do? That is a good question. I mean, you're not really good at anything in particular, so thanks so much for boosting my confidence. You could try that life of crime thing I suggested." "Let's try something else first, okay?" "Okay, okay." He jammed the hat back on his head and rubbed his chin. "What can Joey do? I suppose appearing as a sideshow at a carnival is out? That would not be my first choice, no." "Ooh, ooh! Hey, I got it. The only useful thing you've done out here is dreaming up wacky ideas to solve impossible problems, right?" "I think I've done a little more than that, Skippy." "It's cute you think that. How about you use your one so-called talent on Earth to solve their impossible problems?" That thought perked me up. "Like what?" Crap, I hoped he did not mention something truly impossible like peace in the Middle East. "How about this, Joe? Can you find a way to achieve humanity's long-held dream?" "What is that?" "Combining," he lowered his voice to a whisper, "Taco Tuesdays with Thirsty Thursdays." "Ah, shit. See? If you could do that, all of monkey kind would rejoice." "Yeah, that is really super helpful, Skippy. Thanks a bunch." I sighed. "Well," he sniffed, upset that I didn't embrace his idea, "while you are moping around feeling sorry for yourself, stop playing that stupid game and do something educational. I just loaded a crossword puzzle on your laptop."
Skippy, this crossword is all in French. I don't read French."
"Yeah? So? You suck at crosswords anyway. You think that will make a difference?"
He had a point. Hell, I could always look up the words in a translator. I didn't have anything else to do before we reached Earth.
We arrived back in Earth orbit, only 700 miles off target after a very long jump. The good news is we didn't emerge in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, vaporize the ship, and cause a massive tidal wave. I counted that as a major win.
"This is Colonel
I emphasized my rank. Bishop of the UNS Flying Dutchman, I reported with a smile that was reflected in my voice. Returning from a successful mission. The two Maxalt ships have been destroyed. Details are in the report that—
Colonel Bishop,
a red-faced U.S. Air Force general I did not recognize broke into my prepared monologue.
The President wants to speak with you immediately.
Ah, crap. What could it be this time?
About, what, sir? This!
The general's face was replaced by an image of a crowd carrying signs and marching down a street in some generic American city. They spanned sidewalk to sidewalk and stretched back a full city block. At first, I blinked, wondering why I should care about yet another group protesting the latest thing they had decided to take offense about. Then I realized they were all wearing the same color shirts or jackets or robes. Silver. The camera zoomed in on signs carried by the people in front of the march. The signs were blue, with a glowing silver ball on top from which silver rays spread outward. The bottom half had silver lettering. Skippy loves us all. Don't be a dick. This is the end of Renegades. If you enjoyed this audiobook, find more just like it by visiting oddfans.com. The premier audiobook discovery service that brings tailored recommendations direct to your email. That's audfans.com. You have been listening to Renegades, Book 7 of Expeditionary Force, produced by Emily Durr, executive producer Greg Lawrence, written by Craig Allenson, performed by R.C. Bray. Text copyright 2018 by Craig Allenson. Production copyright 2019 by Podium Publishing. All rights reserved.